Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thank you for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism, what God has revealed that man should believe about him and what duty he requires of man. So today, in particular, we're looking at what it means to say that Christ is our priest, or to be more precise, that he executes the office of a priest as our Redeemer. Christ executed the office of a priest and is once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God and in making continual intercession for us. I want to continue to emphasize the execution of an office, that this is an office entrusted to him by the Father as he engages in the office of a mediator. This is not something that is proper to the second person of the Trinity. This is a covenanted office that he has taken up from the Father for the purpose of redeeming a people for himself. So he executes this office. First, he offers himself up as a sacrifice. So whereas the priest in the sacrificial system, the Levitical system, revealed in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, as well as Deuteronomy to an extent, they offer up sheep, goats, and bulls, and turtle doves. Christ, because he's not in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek, offers up himself a sacrifice. But notice it's in his once offering up. It's a one-time thing. He doesn't continually. We're going to get to his continual priestly activity, but this is a one-time activity. He offers himself up a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper him. So he offers up once because we had gone astray, that he might redeem us, that he might satisfy divine justice. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from him, the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So, we read in Isaiah 53, now that's Acts 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah, and the Lord leads Philip there at that time for that providential meeting, that he might show him Christ out of Isaiah 53, that he was that lamb to the slaughter in our place. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So in his first coming, so in his state of humiliation, he was dealing with sin. He shall come again to deliver those whom he has satisfied divine justice for and execute judgment. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? So, the blood of goats and bulls cannot cleanse the conscience, but Christ cleanses the conscience. To what end? That he might reconcile us to God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Christ has reconciled us to God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the gospel ministry given and entrusted to those ministers whom God ordains through his church have the ministry of reconciliation. And you who once were alienated in a hostile mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So again, he's working in you since you've been reconciled to present you to the Father. So he did because of his one time action. But, and this is the glorious thing, what's Jesus doing right now? He's praying for you. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So even now, right now, Christ is interceding for us. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So right now, Christ, as your priest, is praying for you. Now, it's a great and glorious gift when you pray for others and when others pray for you. But how much more and how much better is it to know that even now Jesus Christ is praying for you, that what is God's perfect will for you shall be accomplished, that he will sustain you, he will uphold you in the midst of all providences. So as you think on this, that Christ once offered himself up a sacrifice for you, that you might be reconciled to God, is even now praying for you. And so as you think of this glorious truth, that Christ is your priest, rejoice and give thanks unto him. Thank you, and God bless.